It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, last time we left off in Ruth chapter 2, and we had gotten to the part where Ruth was gleaning in the field. And notice this, that gleaning always depends upon a person's willingness to work. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Well, look at this with me, if you would, and let's not think of it as simply physical labor, but let's look at it like searching the Scriptures, work in searching the Scriptures. John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." When Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Well, you and I need to search the Scriptures. We need to look into the Word of God and see what God has for us as saved people. Searching the Scriptures, as I look back in the book of Ruth, I find that although Ruth was Moabitess, Ruth appears to be a virtuous woman. And we can read about that virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. Read that chapter, if you would, later on. And I believe that Ruth is a picture of the virtuous woman. Well, let's consider her for a moment. Ruth left home and family only to face poverty. Well, notice what Paul says about this in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Now, he's not writing specifically about Ruth, but he's writing about people who leave the things of this world and possibly face poverty. They leave the things of this world and they want to serve God. Well, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." And you see, Ruth had forgotten those things. He goes on to say, "and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Well, Ruth didn't know about Paul at this time, but she was following this principle of God, that she was going to press forward. She was going to forget those things that were behind, and she severed all ties to Moab and knit her heart to God and His people. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Well, we see Ruth living the very truth of Philippians 4:11. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." See, Ruth was content to do the things of God. We also see Ruth's humility, and it's seen as she goes out into the field and labors. She identifies herself to others as a widow who is poor. She wasn't ashamed of that. She wanted to do God's will. Well, we pick up now in Ruth chapter 2, and we're going to start here with verse 4. It says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers." And you see, Ruth is in the field reaping here. She was out there, and Boaz takes notice of her. And he asks this question. And before he does that, he tells the fellow who's in charge of his field, he says to this fellow, he says, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him. This, once again, this is the whole work. I suppose this is the workforce he had there. And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Well, he approached his worker and workers in a manner that is befitting a godly man. He said, "The Lord be with you." Well, when I think of this, it reminds me of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. It tells us there that, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Well, the first words of Boaz were, "The Lord be with you." Well, I believe in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we find this fulfilled, because there would be a virgin who would conceive and bear a son, and his name would be Emmanuel. And of course, he is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice now that Boaz came to his reapers in time of harvest, and when we think of this, Christ too one day will come for his reapers, the church, not from Bethlehem, but from glory. Some of God's people, and that's the church, said of the seed in the plowed earth, they sow that seed. They look at it and they say, this is the seed of God that I'm sowing. And this is the ground of those who hear the gospel. In other words, it's sown into that person, the word of God. And some of God's people water the word. They pray and they have a great testimony and they hand out tracts and so forth. Well, some of God's people harvest, the result of plowing, sowing, and watering. But when we look to the Lord and we ask God, when are you coming? When are you coming, Jesus? When are you coming back? Well, when will Christ come? Well, he will come in the time of harvest. And just as Boaz did, he came in the time of harvest. In Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, it says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness. We see the fullness. This is the harvest now it's speaking of here in this verse. He says, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. See, God is now visiting the Gentiles. This is everyone who is not a Jew or is not a Jew. He's visiting the people. He's going to take out of the people, other than, you know, Jews can be saved as well, but he's taking out of a people, of the people for his name, according to Acts chapter 15 and verse 14. We're going to read that in just a moment. But when the full number known only to God has been reached, then the times of the Gentiles will end, and God will begin again to deal with Israel as his elect nation. Now, in Acts chapter 15 and verse 14, it says, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. See, God has always had a people. God has always had a representation of himself, those people who would bring honor and glory to him. And by the way, that's why we were created, in order to bring glory and honor to God. That's found in the book of Revelation. Well, now as we look on in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, we look at verse 5, where it says, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And Boaz asked, who is this? Well, this, you see, this type fits very well in this instance, because the Lord loved us even before we were born or born again. You see, I believe that you've heard the saying, love at first sight. I believe that Boaz fell in love immediately. He loved her before he even knew who it was. And this is the same way it is with us, with God. He loved us before we ever knew him. He said, who is this? Well, God knows who we are, even before we're born. In Psalm chapter 139 and verse 16, it says, thine eyes did see my substance. In other words, God saw us before we were born. He says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And then we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, and even before God knows, he knows us, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knew us, but we didn't know him. God sent his son to die for us on the cross. He commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us. He loves people, and he wants mankind to be saved. And one day, these people will be with him in heaven. Well, in verse 6, Ruth chapter 2, it goes on to say this. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, now Boaz had asked who the woman was out there reaping. And the servant said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. You see, Boaz wanted to know who she was. And this man who was set over the reapers answered and told the inquisitor, this would be Boaz, who this woman was that was in the field. But we see here that Ruth is the young woman, the damsel. She was led from death, and this was from Moab, the land of death. Remember, she was led from death to life to Bethlehem, Judah, by Naomi. Well, I want you to notice something here. Some people are ridiculed for not being great soul winners. Think of this. Naomi only led one person to life as far as we know. And I would say this to you. Do not be discouraged if you are not recognized by others as a great soul winner. Now, I'm not minimizing the importance of soul winning. Don't get me wrong. It's very important that we win souls to Christ. However, the possible one that you have to find life and you bring to life, you bring to the Lord, is as important as the many someone else may help. Well, don't give up. Keep serving God. Keep witnessing for the Lord, and don't be discouraged. If you're not considered by others as that great soul winner that they try to get you to believe that they are, don't be discouraged. Sometimes people just like to brag. We need to understand that it is a great honor to bring honor and glory to our Savior by leading others to Him. Listen to Luke chapter 15 and verse 10, where it says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over the sinner that repenteth." Over one sinner that repenteth. Well, keep witnessing for the Lord. And if it comes down to that, do you want to lead one person to the Lord, there is rejoicing in heaven. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another." You know what that means? In other words, it says, pay attention to what you're doing. Don't be so critical of someone else. Let God take care of the matter. But now in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And she said, I pray you now." Well, this man who was over Boaz's field, he asked who she was, and he asked the same question that Boaz asked of him. He asked Ruth, and Ruth answered and said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Now this servant is telling Boaz this. Well, this is an asked for privilege. Ruth asked for the privilege of gleaning. Ruth made an earnest request for a privilege to glean, to go behind the harvesters and get that what they left. The servant was in charge of the reapers of the field. He would be responsible for knowing who was in the field for the harvest. This is the reason Boaz went to him. Well, this man who was in charge, he no doubt questioned Ruth as to who she was. And it would have been during the questioning of Ruth that she would have made the request she made, as seen in chapter 2 and verse 7. Well, the way the text was written leads me to believe Ruth entered the field before actual gleaning was to take place. The reapers, the harvesters, were still in the process of harvesting. And according to Leviticus 22, the gleaner was not to go in until the harvesters were finished. Well, Ruth was working as hard as the reapers. She started working early, taking only the time the reapers took for a little rest from their labor. And it says there that she tarried a little in the house. Well, this is where we'll leave at this time, and we'll talk about later on that Ruth was not only poor, she was a stranger in a new land. You see, new converts cannot take in the whole counsel of God at first, and they need to be led along as Ruth was being led along in the field. Know Jesus today as your Savior, and if you do know Him, tell others about Him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.